Ramban Parshas Vayechi. So the Ramban begins with almost like an introduction that the whole story, he said this before in other parshios, the whole story of Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim is a remez to our going to our being in the Gullus right now, Gullus Romi, the fourth of the four Gulluses. Like there are four exiles that the Jewish people have to go through in history, not counting Mitzrayim. There is Bavel, Paras Umadai, Yavon, and Romi. We are currently in Romi because the Romans destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and we haven't been redeemed yet, so we're in Gullus Romi. So the whole story of Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim, which happens at the end of Bereishis, remember everything is mine. The Ramban always says, "Ma'asei Avosim u'Labanim." Whatever happened to the Avos is what created what will happen to us. So Yaakov, at the end of Parshas Bereishis, because it's going to happen to us at the end of time, Yaakov, he's in Gullus. His going down to Gullus is remiss to our final Gullus of going down to Mitzrayim, of being in Gullus Edom. And he says there are many parallels. One of them is in the Gullus of Yaakov, he went down to Mitzrayim because there was a famine. And he was hoping to go there just to help him, you know, to get some food and not to stay long. But he ended up being stuck there for a long time. So long that he stayed there for the rest of his life. He actually died there. Yaakov died in Mitzrayim. Eventually, Yosef brought Yaakov back up to Israel for burial. This is going to be part of the Nimshel, believe it or not. He gets eventually brought back up to Eretz Yisrael dead, right? They bring his body. Yosef brings with an army. Yosef brings an army of Mitzrim and the other Shvatim, but he comes with an army to go bring Yaakov to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And he is, of course. And it says also that they made a big hesped for him there. And there was a big avel, a big mourning over there. So the Ramban says that is similar to our current Gullus, in that it was caused by us, meaning Agrippas went to try to go, Agrippas, king of the Jews. So he tried to run to the Romans for help, and we were the famine is what did the Jews in the end. So we kind of brought the Romans in, similar to Yaakov having gone to Mitzrayim on his own. The Jews kind of brought Rome in, and it ended up being bad, and they suffered, and they it was destroyed eventually via famine, and we got stuck in that Gullus forever. Now here's the big kicker. And we died. What does that mean? It means as if kemesim. It was Yovshu Atzmosenu Nigzrel, like the Jewish people, by the end of time, at the end, it's as if they're dead. It's just a physical body, but the person is gone. And that's what gets brought back to Yerushalayim, just the bones. Like a dead man. Like it's not recognizable, not the original person. It's just the bones, the physical thing is left. That's what gets brought back eventually to Eretz Yisrael. And he says it's brought by the Mitzrim, meaning to say that it's brought by the Goyim, which the Ramban says in Shir HaShirim. If you've never seen this, you should look it up. It's one of the more important Rambans to know in Shir HaShirim because of the history that we're in today. But the Ramban is of the opinion that when the Geula comes, it will start with the Goyim allowing us to come back to Eretz Yisrael. That will not be the ultimate Geula, that will be the beginning. And then it could be a really long time, he says, till the ultimate Geula. But eventually it will come, and then there'll be a real Kibbutz Galios where everyone comes. If you look in it's also the Netziv, I'm just saying this, I got the Netziv in Parshas Netzavim. I believe it is. Yeah, Netzavim. The Netziv in Netzavim quotes this Ramban in Shir HaShirim, because there it says, V'shav Hashem alakacha eshvuzchav richa mecha v'shav v'kibetzcha mikol ha'amim. Two v'shavs, because there's two kibbutz galias. There's one that he says is like the Ramban, that will have a kibbutz galias of some of us. And then there's the second v'shav, that's when there'll be the ultimate kibbutz galias. So the first one will be that the Jews are brought back by the Mitzrim, by the Goyim will let us in. And then he says that there will be, when we have the ultimate Geula, there'll be an Avel Kaved Birosam Kvodenu. It'll be very painful for our enemies, the Kaved that will be given to Klal Yisrael when the ultimate Gula comes. That'll be an Avel Kaved for him. That'll be a great morning for them, and we will see Nikmas Hashem. That's what he says. Okay. Okay, then we know, so he makes Yosef swear that he'll bring, Yaakov makes Yosef swear that he'll bring his bones back to, they'll bring him back to Eretz Yisrael. He makes him swear, of course, like we know, because Paro wouldn't let him go otherwise, because they wanted Yaakov to be buried in Mitzrayim. After all, remember, he brought an end to the famine. Whatever sheet you have, you temporarily put a whole end to the famine. Whatever it is, they thought it would be good luck to keep him there. So they didn't want him to leave, so he made Yosef swear. And he tells Yosef that I give you the Bechorah, in that Ephraim and Manasseh will be their own Shvatim. They'll be like Shimon and Levi. Okay, in what sense is Ephraim and Manasseh Shvatim? So this is a very famous Machlokas Rashi and Ramban, right here. So Rashi says that Eretz Yisrael was divided up based on how big your family is. You had a bigger family at the time of, it went with Yetzias Mitzrayim, but all the Gemara's over there about it, above Basra about it. But it went with your, how many people left Mitzrayim and the Boyarets and all that. So whatever your family size was then, that's how it was divided. It was divided by people. So whether Reuven and Shimon are on their own Shevet or not is irrelevant, says Rashi, to what kind of size Nachla you got. It was relevant to things like you have your own Degel and your own Nasi, and by the Chanukah Sanasim you brought the Karban. It was relevant to things, what the Ramban calls things of Kavod, that had nothing to do with Nachla, because Eretz Yisrael was divided based on how big your family was, period. So all the Shvatim makes no relevance how big the Shevet was or not. The bigger they were, they ended up getting more. But it doesn't matter whether you're called part of a Shevet, not called part of a Shevet. It was all just divided equally based on size of family. Ramban says, that cannot be. He's like willing to entertain a lot, but he's like, that cannot be. There is no way that Shevet does not mean Nachla, because that's exactly what the Pasuk here says. This is all about Nachla. And he brings other rayas that this all has to do with Nachla. So rather, the Ramban says Eretz Yisrael was divided equally amongst Shvatim. Every Shevet got an equal portion in Israel. Amongst the portion that your Shevet got, that they divided based on how many people you had. So everyone got, it was not based on every individual, how big your family was. Rather, every single Shevet, no matter big or small, got the exact same size Nachla, equal portions, let's put it that way, they got equal portions, and within your Shevet, then they divided up how big Bateyav you had. If you had more, you got a bigger piece of land. But it was divided equally amongst the Shvatim, and therefore, being your own Shevet, now you got a lot more land for B'nai Yosef. So that's what that was. So it was very relevant that he would get a double portion of land. He's willing to hear maybe from the Psukim, it could sound like it is divided amongst per person, but then he said you'd have to say that Ephraim and Manasseh each got a double portion, because he said it can't be. He's like, he's not willing to tolerate. Can't be. It has nothing to do with Nachla. It has to do with Nachla. But anyway, his main shot that he understands it is that Eretz Yisrael was divided evenly amongst the Shvatim, and that was divided based on people. Okay, then Yaakov tries to assuage Yosef's feelings when he asks him to bury him in Israel. He knows maybe Yosef's not too happy that his mother was not buried in Maaseh Machpelah. He's asking Yosef to please bring me to Maaseh Machpelah, yet he himself did not bury Rachel in Maaseh Machpelah. And he did bury Leah in Maaseh Machpelah, right? He did not bury Rachel in Maaseh Machpelah. And Rashi tells us that Yaakov says, I know, Yosef, that you have tainas on me, that I didn't, or it's in your heart, why didn't I bury Rachel in Maaseh Machpelah? And so Rashi says, al pi agada, that it was because eventually the Klal Yisrael would go past that place in the time of Churban, and she would daven for them. So the Rabban, okay, that's fine. The Rabban says, aderech hapshat, you would say that, it's like it says, she died baderech. She died, in the middle of nowhere, and he couldn't leave all the kids and go run to Maaseh Machpelah, and also, like, it's not kavod ames, like, especially for ladies, he says. There's a halacha about ladies, you don't delay. So anyway, whatever, he had to bury her right there. Whatever it is. He had to bury her right there. He could not delay, leave the family and just delay, and it would take a while to get to Maris HaMachpelah. He didn't have, like here in Mitzrayim, you know, you could put everybody in mummies, but there he didn't have that. He had no choice, and that's why he buried her baderech. Okay, that's fine. Now here's like some fascinating little secret the Ramban tells you. This is unbelievable. The Ramban says, "Bani suffer shahayu elu divrei hisnatzlus." The Ramban says, I think that this was all just, he was trying to make Yaakov, Yosef feel good or whatever, but it's not the truth. Pagam Yosef, and not that he used those words, those are my words, but that's what he says. Shahayu elu divrei hisnatzlus. And Yosef also knew she died on the road, and that they did a proper funeral for her. Yaakov says the Ramban didn't want to bury Rachel in Maris HaMachpelah because he was married to two sisters. You're not allowed to be married to two sisters. And he didn't want to be Kiyevosh Me'avosav. He didn't want to be embarrassed in front of his fathers that he married two sisters. So who gets buried? So who did he really marry? He married Leah first. And then, if you're not supposed to marry two sisters, Rachel was the second one. So that's not, shouldn't have been his wife, so he didn't want her buried there. It's unbelievable. That's what the Ramban says. Now, you know, the Ramban Lashitoso holds that, the Avos did not keep the Torah, as we have it outside of Israel, which is why Rachel died on the way back into Israel. Like he had married her outside of Eretz Israel. And then when he was coming back to Eretz Israel is when she died. Because once she went into Eretz Yisrael, he can't be married to her, because it's against the Torah. So she died as soon as they got back into Israel, and that's why he didn't want to bury her in Maris HaMachpelah, because in Israel, he's not supposed to be married to her. Okay. Okay, now the Ramban has another fascinating thing. If you remember, in this, where, when Yaakov blessed, when Yaakov gave Yosef the Bechorah, and said, you're gonna have, that Ephraim and Manasseh will be separate Shvatim, he also said, and any kids that you have after this will be just part of Ephraim and Manasseh. The Ramban says the tzaddik doesn't make a bracha or say something and it doesn't come true. So he said he must have had other kids. And it's not clear when those kids were born, but he had other kids besides Ephraim and Manasseh. So like the Pasuk in Perek Malach Pasuk Nun says, Oli Yosef Yulad Shnei Vanim Beterem Tavosh Nasa Rav. He had two kids before the Rav came. Sounds like, after the Rav, there were more kids. It's just funny that the Torah never mentions them. Never mentions them by name. Ramban says, in Ben Tzarech, there was no need. But he understands that Yosef did actually have other kids that were included in Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, then Yosef sees that Yaakov is switching his hands. So it says, Vayira Be'enav. So the Ramban says, why did Yosef care? So you might say maybe he liked Manasseh better because he was the Bechor. Ramban says, I don't think that's the pshat. Rather, he's saying he thought his father made a mistake. If his father made a mistake, then that means the Shechina is not sure here. Because when you're doing a bracha to like someone like Yaakov and there's Ruach HaKodesh, there's a Shechina there, it affects things. The mistakes don't happen. Hashem doesn't like let a mistake happen. So he thought, if Yaakov made a mistake, that means that the Shechina is not here and this bracha is not going to be Mekuyim. So that's why he was Vayir Be'enav. And then when Yaakov told him, now I know what I'm doing, so then he was understood that that's the way it's supposed to be. Okay, then he tells Yosef that he's gonna die and Hashem will be with you. Ve'heshiv eschem al eretz avoseichem, and you will return back to Eretz Israel. V'ani nesati l'cha shechem echad al chachacha, shalakachti, miyad ha'amori b'char v'yivakashti. So I have taken, you're gonna go back to Eretz Israel, and I've given you the shechem echad al chavirecha, a portion more than your brothers, that I took from the Amori, Becharbi, Bekashti. So, this means he conquered for you, Eretz Yisrael, Becharbi, Bekashti. So this is referring to the future, that Klal Yisrael will get Eretz Yisrael. And Yaakov saying, I got it for you, Becharbi, Bekashti. That means to say, the Ramban says that, number one, you'll need a Cherev and a Keshes to conquer them, and number two, it's me who's doing it. Meaning to say, Klal Yisrael is going to fight, but it's the Zchus of Yaakov, or maybe Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, that is doing Melchama for them, that's helping them win, not they themselves. And, furthermore, he says that he thinks Yaakov actually did this, meaning to say that he actually shot arrows at the Amoris, and he took out his sword against the Amoris, meaning he was trying to show a simon. as Ramban told us, this is an important yisod also, that when a Navi has a Nevuah, if it then comes to fruition in a little bit, like you make some simon in the physical world, not just a dream or a Nevuah, but you do something physical to symbolize that, then it makes it that that Nevuah will for sure happen. So by actually shooting arrows at the Amoris, so then it makes it that his Nevuah will come true. This concept, this is really like a kind of Maisei Avasim L'Banim, but it's more than that, it's for all Nevuahs. And the Ramban told us this back in Parshas Lech Lecha, why Ram had to go all over Eretz Yisrael. Once you do a physical act, it makes it that it's going to happen. Many people understand that that's why we do the Simanim on Rosh Hashanah. Because if something good was nigzar on the person, now they did a physical act to make it, that's a remes to that thing, it makes it that it's going to happen. Okay. Then we have the brachos of Yaakov that he gave to all the brothers. And of course, it started off with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, which do not exactly have brachos. So that he's giving Reuven Moser, and he says that you're pachas kamayim al toser, ki alisa mishkevei avicha. So Mino Chazal tell us that he just put Yaakov's main bed in Bilhah's, in away from Bilhah's house. And that's it. But the Pashup shot in the reading is, it says, Vayishkav as Bilhah, that Reuven was Shochev with Bilhah. So Chazal say it's not true. Psukim say it is true, but Chazal say no, it's not true. It just means he moved the beds, Yaakov's beds, from Bilhah's tent away from there, because he thought it was a pagima in his mother's covered. But some, you know, Rishonim and Achronim do deal with it as if it was true, because there's, as you know from the Ramban, or maybe you don't know, but throughout Ramban, there's always Derech HaPshat, and then there's what? And then there's Chazal. And he said, Derech HaPshat, if it is Vayishkav as Bilhah, it would be to, he says, it would have been to pasel Bilhah from his mother, to make it that Yaakov would not be, not his mother, I'm sorry, Bilhah, to pasel Bilhah from Yaakov, to make it that Bilhah would not have any kids anymore with Yaakov. So that would be 12, and that's it. And this way, because otherwise he'd get less of a bechora. And so Yaakov saying that was a bechiza, because that got you nowhere, and you don't get a bechora anymore. Again, that's the pashut from the words, but of course Chazal tell us that that didn't happen. It was just moving the beds. Okay, but that's Adar Chabshat. Okay, then we get to the bracha of Yehuda. So Yehuda was given the bracha that he would be the melech, and the kings of Klal Yisrael would always come from him. So the Ramban has to deal now with the kings of Klal Yisrael that did not come from him. We know Klal Yisrael started from Shaul, which was not from Yehuda, and then, remember, Klal Yisrael got split up into two kingdoms. There was kingdom of Yehuda, which had kings from Yehuda, and then there was the kingdom of Yisrael, which did not have kings from Yehuda. There's that. And then thirdly, there was the story of the Hashmonaim. When they took over, they made themselves kings. And they were, there was no two kingdoms then, right? It was just the Jewish people in Israel. And one ruler, the Hashmonaim, and they were not from Yehuda either. Okay, so how do we understand all these things? So, as far as the first king, so he said, that was, you know, it was obviously Hashem ordained that. It was, he said there should be Shaul from, who was not from Yehuda. Because there, when Klal Yisrael asked for a melech, it was not appropriate. That was not an appropriate time. They had Shmuel at that time, who was a Navi Hashem, and he was doing all their melchamos for them, Biad Hashem, and they should not have asked for a king at that time. It was an inappropriate time to ask for it. And the reason why, so since it was inappropriate for them to ask for a king, Hashem did not want to use Yehuda, because that's who it's going to be forever, and that's what's supposed to be Lechatchila. So first he wanted to use a shevet that's not from Yehuda, because that was the shevet of Esther Melech. And then, after Shaul was gone, because he sinned, so then he put in Yehuda. And when the Navi, you know, when we say that had Shaul not sinned, he would have been Melech. So then, the Ramban suggests, had Shaul not sinned, what would have been? Maybe he would have been, his children, would have been Melech on their shevet alone. Or he would have been under Yehuda. But had Shaul not sinned, okay, the Malchus would have continued through his kids on some level. But he did sin, so he was gone, and then Yehuda takes over. And the Ramban says, when once there was David and Shlomo, and then Rechavam, after Rechavam took over and it split at that point, so the Ramban says that was a chait, it was wrong. It was over Maldasa Aviyim Amavir and Achla. It wasn't correct. They were Somech on Achya Hashilonim, Hashiloni, who was Mosheich Yeravam. But that was a one-off. In other words, they did have, it was okay for them to do in the sense that Hashem allowed that, but that was not supposed to continue. The fact that they continued being Mosheich Malachim, not from Yehuda, that was a chait. And similarly, the Chashmonaim, who he says were Chassidei Elyon. If not for them, the Torah would have been forgotten in Klai Yisrael. Hanukkah didn't pass that long ago. And we all know, if you've been studying it at all, what the Yavanim were doing, there were Misyavnim, people who were going off, and they basically weren't allowing anybody to keep Yiddishkeit, and the Torah would have been sounded a lot like communist Russia. And the Torah would have been forgotten had not the Chashmonaim stopped it. So they were Chassidei Elyon, and still they underwent a terrible onesh, in that their whole family was wiped out. And anybody who says they come from Chashmonai, it must be that they're a slave, because it means they came from Hordus, who was a slave. They suffered tremendously. Why is that? So the Ramban says, because of this chait. Because they were Kohanim, they should not have made themselves king. At least not long term. Which seems to be the point. Also, all the kings of Yisrael, they were better in the sense that they didn't have all their family cut off forever. Because there was also Malchus Yehuda at the same time. So at least there was Malchus Yehuda and Malchus Yisrael. By the Chashmonaim, it was just them. They were the full king, and that was, and for generations, and that was wrong. And that's why they all got wiped out. So in a certain sense, the Hanukkah story had a happy ending, but the long-term story for the Chashmonaim did not turn out well. And he says it's kind of like a Mida Keneged Mida. Their slaves became their masters, because they shouldn't have been king. Okay. And so, continuing in the bracha, he blesses Yehuda that he will always be the ruler, ad ki avo shilo, until Mashiach comes, velo yikas amim. And to him is yikas amim. What's yikas amim? So the Rabban says it means to be yikas is to weaken, to destroy the nations, to be machlish the nations, weaken them, meaning to rule over all nations. And where does the word mean that? From the Seder, which we all know, Afata Hake Ashinov, which you tell the Russia says Ma Avoda Azos Lachem, and you tell him Afata Hake Ashinov. What does that mean, Hake? And everybody was, it looks like when you say it, it sounds like it means knock out with a kuf, with a kuf rather, like lahika. It's Hake with a kuf, but the Rabban says means the same thing, means to break them. Hake Ashinov is to or weaken them. It can mean weaken or destroy, so you weaken the bite of his teeth, or you knock him out. Anyway, that's what it means. He will destroy the nations. By the way, I can't help myself from saying this. This famous gematria, I once heard about that. If you take the gematria of Tzaddik, of Russia rather, take the gematria of Russia, and you minus Shinov, because Hakeh Shinov, you break his teeth, you knock him out, you're left with Tzaddik. Gematria of Russia minus Shinov is Tzadik. Okay, remember that for your Seder. Next. Okay, and then again, and continuing in Yehuda's Bracha, it says that Chachlile Einayim Miyayin Uleven Shinayim Mechalav. So he will have eyes that are colored from wine. And his teeth are whitened from milk. So the Rabban says, like, Chachlili comes from the words Kol. Like, when they would, put makeup on the eyes or eyeshadow. So that was the word alcohol. That's what that is. Kohl. Alcohol, just an Arabic version of that. Like algebra, all those Arabic words that became English. So alcohol. That's kohl. When they painted the eyes, people would use whatever, paint. So Yehuda would have so much wine that his eyes would be reddened by wine, and his teeth, other people have to use a special Colgate teeth whitener. He had so much milk that it would be whitened by milk. The point is just to say that there'll be a lot of wine and milk in his nachla. Okay, just skipping to Dan, this is just interesting that this this, the psukim here, according to Rabban, refer to Shimshon, that Yehi Dan Nachash Ali Derech, that refers to Shimshon. Shimshon was the last of the Shoftim, and he died. And he says, Rabban says, all the Shoftim, none of them died at the hands of their enemies, except for Shimshon. He did die at the end, at the hands of his enemies. So when he finally died, so then Klai Yisrael had no protection. So that's why it ends off. So he's the Dan Nachash Ali Derech Shrifan Ali Erech Hanoshe Chikri. So he was, you know, killed a lot of the Goyim, but he was killed himself. And therefore, L'shuascha Kibisi Hashem. That's what that has to do with anything. So Yaakov is davening that when he dies, and that's the end of the Shoftim, because the next person was, Shmuel, who was a Navi. So you have to call out to Hashem, L'shuascha Kibisi Hashem. Okay, now we're going to skip to the end of the Parsha. At the end of the Parsha, we have Yaakov being brought back to Eretz Yisrael. So it tells again what Yaakov said before he died about being brought back, that he wanted to be brought back to Eretz Yisrael, to Maris HaMachpelah. And here he says something interesting. Shama Kavru Savram Vesar Ishto. Pay attention to the translation as Shama Kavru. That's where they were buried. So, like, who buried them? I don't know, somebody. Shama Kavru Savram Vesar Ishto. That's where Avram and Sarah were buried. This is Yaakov talking. Shama Kavru Yitzchak Ves Rivka Ishto. That's where they buried Yitzchak and Rivka, his wife. The Shama Kavarti Es Leah, and that's where I buried Leah. Okay, says Yaakov talking, right? Yaakov says, that's where I buried Leah. And what about Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov? What about Avram and Yitzchak and their wives? They were buried. Sounds like Yaakov didn't bury Avram, Sarah, Yitzchak, and Rivka. All he buried was Leah, because that's what he says. Shama Kavru, Shama Kavru. And by Leah, it says Shama Kavarti. Thing is, it's not true. Who buried Yitzchak? Yaakov buried Yitzchak. Yaakov and Esav together buried Yitzchak. So why does he say Shama Kavarti Es Leah, where he says I did it, by Shama Kavru Es Yitzchak, as if somebody else buried him? He's the one who did it. What does he mean Shama Kavarti Es Yitzchak? He buried Yitzchak along with Esav. So Rabban says either he didn't want to mention Esav's name, as we're going to explain, Esav was going to be a real problem for Maris HaMachpelah. He didn't want to mention Esav's name, or because it would have been complicated, because he did not bury Rivka. Remember who did bury Rivka? Esav. So he did not bury Rivka. He just buried Yitzchak, so he just left it. That's where they were buried. That they were buried, didn't say I buried them. Okay, he at the very least wasn't around when Rivka was buried. Okay, so then, but he did say, I buried Leah, as if to say, I was already Kona there. I made a chazak in there. Why is that? Because we all know there were two sons to Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Esav, and they both might want to be buried there. The Ramban says that would not have happened. Had Esav been buried in Maris HaMachpelah, for whatever reason, Yaakov would not have been buried there, because that's just not the way it was done. He says, Ein l'shtei mishpachos beis kvur echad. That just wasn't done. You don't have two brothers in the same, they would have, different families would be buried in different places, and therefore had Esav ended up there, Yaakov would not have been buried there. So he made a chazaka by burying his wife there, that it's his, and we go from other chazals that he had already paid Esav for it, which of course doesn't stop Esav. And in fact, he quotes Yosifon, and in this Gemara, and there's similar without all the details, but similar, that in fact, Tzfo, son of Elisav, son of Esav, did come and try to stop Yaakov from being buried there. And that's why Yosef, when he went out to go bring Yaakov back to Eretz Yisrael to bury him, it says he went with Rechavu Parashim, which is war. He went with an army. Why? Because he knew there were problems that, you know, could happen. And so, according to this, Yosefon, the descendant of Esav did come. I don't know if he came with an army, but whatever, there was a war. And Yosef took Tzfo captive, and he held him there in Mitzrayim until Yosef died. Once Yosef died, this guy Tzfo escaped, and he went to Italy, and he ruled over it, and he was the first king of Rome, or of the area anyway, and he built the first Heichal of Rome. That's what the Rabban quotes from this Yosefon. And he says, and Chazal have, at least, they don't mention this whole story, but they do mention that there was a fight there. But the Pesukim say they all came back alive, so no one was harmed. That Yosef and his team was not harmed. And that's it. The Rabban ends off with a poem, like he does often. And whatever, just says this is the Sefer of Ma'aseh Avosim L'Banim. And he thanks Hashem for helping him. Okay, that's it.